Hello, girls, gays, and fellow lads. Welcome to another episode of Yours Truly, Hannah E. In today's episode, it is my first time ever having a video and audio component. I'm really excited. I'm recording this. Give me some feedback on the layout. I'm trying to figure out where I can record within my little childhood bedroom, but I'm super excited to bring in the video element. I think it kind of will give you guys a way of like connecting with me, but also to helping me reach a bigger audience. So today's episode is intended to be informative. We are going to be talking about voting, voting rights, and voting suppression. And I want to give a big disclaimer about this episode that it will be politically heavy. So if you want a lighthearted episode, please check out any of my other previous episodes. But I encourage you to stay until the end of the episode to kind of understand how voting works within the US. So I'm going to talk about three films today. The first one is All In, The Fight for Democracy, Safeguard, an Electoral College Story, and Whose Vote Counts Explained. So all three of these you can watch on Prime Video, the first two on Prime Video and this last one on Netflix. And I have to say that each of these three films have the core meaning of the US voting within the US democracy. And I believe it's really important to understand and know the definition of democracy. So within the All In film, they explain that democracy is a system which voters choose their electors. At least that's what it's supposed to be. They kind of ask the question on why is voting being limited within specific communities? And I will give you guys like my experience with voting because I voted before. I voted in the 2016 election when I was a freshman in college and I did an absentee ballot. So that was like my first time. I think I did like state voting as well. I think I came home and did it, but don't take my word for it because it's been a little while. But that was my first time. I am very much aware of like the history in Georgia when it comes to voting and voting suppression and all the good things in good old Peach State. And I have to say that I'm very fortunate that where I live, I can kind of go to a predominantly white elementary school and just like vote. And it's like pretty simple and easy. And I'm very fortunate that I haven't really faced any like suppression within the polls, but it is very big within African-American predominantly areas. As we are aware, I'm recording this on a Wednesday, so we are 2 days in to early voting in Georgia, and there have been hours and hours of lines. Even the first day, people had to wait for like 3 or 4 hours. So yeah, and it's really funny because we're the only country that makes it so difficult to have people within communities to go out and vote and like have their voice be heard. And in the All In film, they mention how the US is the only country that makes it difficult for communities to own their power due to the requirements within the election process. You have to first, one, make sure you're registered. If you're not registered, then you have to like do all that stuff. If you change your address, you have to like fill that in, and if you don't, then like it messes up, like you might not be qualified. Like it's just like a whole like zigzag of like ropes that you have to fill. And then it's like, and then when it comes to early voting, there's the whole lines or polls or like machines not working. And then because of COVID, obviously things are not how they usually are, right? Like we are in a whole pandemic. So there are different regulations, 6 feet apart, you know, CDC guidelines, like all of these different things. And I think what was so incredible in the All In film, they mentioned how if you can convince a whole entire community that like the process isn't for them, or these like 10, you know, 5, 6, 7 hour long lines, if someone has, you know, like back issues or, you know, like a pre-existing health condition that we are not aware of, like, they may not be able to withstand that, then they won't come out and vote. And in that film, they also talk about the history of voting and keeping citizens from voting. And as we all know, back when the country was founded, it was only old white dudes who could vote in the early days. So I'm actually going to play a clip from the film talking about the history of voting.
System of labor, what system of politics, what system of race relations? Reconstruction is the nation's effort to come to terms with the abolition of slavery.
They were trying to figure out, how do we heal this nation? How do we stitch it back together? And then you've got 4 million freed people. How do we do this?
The three amendments, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, were not just small-scale changes in an existing structure. They made the Constitution, for the first time, a vehicle through which people could claim greater equality. They actually transformed the Constitution into something new and different. They took slavery out of the Constitution, where it had been embedded. They created for the first time a national definition of citizenship and insisted that all those citizens and other persons in the country had to be treated equally. And they mandated that African-American men must have the right to vote.
That amendment in 1870 said the right to vote shall not be denied or abridged on the basis of race, color, or previous condition of servitude.
The state shall not abridge the right to vote on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude.
I want to talk about Stacey Abrams. So in all the Fight for Democracy, it is kind of like Stacey's Abrams, it's about Stacey Abrams' experience with like the 2020 election. And if you don't know who Stacey Abrams is, she was like a candidate for the 2018 Georgia governor race, and there was a lot of voter suppression between her and Brian Kemp and all that stuff. But in the film, they actually talk about her background and how she was born in Mississippi. Her dad was the first to go to college. Her mom was the first to go to grad school. They're very intentional with their kids because she was like the second of like five or six siblings. And then they're very big about going to church, school, and like helping others. And her parents very much instilled in her the importance of casting a vote. And around when she was 15, her parents got admitted to Emory to become a priest. So she came and went to high school as an angsty teenager, graduated as valedictorian from Avondale High School here in Georgia. So there was a story that she said within the film that was just so insane to me. And I mean, it wasn't that crazy because I think during that time, like it doesn't surprise me, if that makes sense. So she talked about how she became valedictorian her last year, right? Like that's usually when you become a valedictorian. So she became valedictorian, and during that time, like all valedictorians were invited to the governor's house. So her and her parents, they got in their best dress, they got on the bus, and when they got there, the bus dropped them off. And when they got to the governor's mansion in Georgia, freaking huge place. If you've never been, you should go because it's insane. But they get there and the guard literally tells them, no, like you can't come, or like you can't be here. And or let me scratch that. They get there, she tells them, her parents and her tell them that she's here because she's a valedictorian, and the guard's like, no. And then she's like, my name's on here, like I'm Stacey Abrams. And the governor's like, no, like you don't belong here. And obviously her parents had a few choice words to say, and eventually she was like able to get in. But that day, she doesn't remember meeting the governor. She doesn't remember meeting her fellow like valedictorians. She remembers this man standing in front of her the most powerful place in Georgia and stating, like, you don't belong inside. And during that time, she had no interest, obviously, of running for governor. So then the film kind of goes into how back in the day, you know, and I think this can kind of tie with the Safeguard film, because in that film, it kind of talks about the Electoral College and kind of giving me and whoever watches insight on, like, what does the EC do for us? It's set up just like our House and our Senate, like a collective amount of votes and all that stuff. And the way that it was created was a way for the power to not be with the government, but with the states. And all in all, throughout the history, three amendments made it very possible to do what we do today in regarding to voting and all that stuff, which is the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. And this is because of the fact that the Constitution, those amendments made the Constitution a vehicle to claim greater equality. Like, it transformed the United States, America, into something like new and different. First off, slavery was out of there, but we could talk about that in another episode. The second thing is the 14th Amendment created the understanding of what it meant to be like a citizen within the state, and that all citizens should be treated equally. And the 5th Amendment gave African Americans the right to vote, and African American men, to be specific. And in 1970, Black men had the right to vote within the Union, and this gave, like, Reconstruction really gave the U.S. a fresh start, and the power of voting changed everything. Like, after this whole thing was initiated, there were Black senators at that time, like, in government and, like, making all these rules, but this is actually kind of, like, where things, you know, turn into like voting suppression. So I'm gonna mention her again. Stacey Abrams is someone that truly inspires me, especially after seeing how the 2018 election was in Georgia. And I'm going to be very, very frank, like, Brian Kemp would never be my choice, like at all. And the way that Stacey Abrams kind of got into government and politics, I guess, or I'm just gonna flat out just say government, was while she was in college. She was a big person, a big advocate for pushing college students to go out and register to vote. She even was able to speak at the March on Washington and talking about, like, young people and getting young people to even show up at the March on Washington. And I think it's important to remember too that, like, there was a time where, like, women could not vote until, like, the 19th Amendment. Let's talk about voting suppression, because I feel like that's a good way to transition. So I was born, raised in the South. I go to college in the South, and I think everyone is very aware that the South is pretty known for the wild ways that they suppress votes. The first one was the poll tax and literacy tests, grandfather clause, there were the black codes. Like, there are so many ways in the history books that the South has just been the South. And I think it's crazy because our democracy is the only one that can take your right to vote away if you create, like, you have a conviction in regarding to felony and all that stuff. And if you aren't aware of, like, what a returning citizen is, it's a person who is able to vote or come back into voting previous, like, a felony charge. And in the film All In, there was a person who was a big advocate within Miami, Florida. Like, he was able to be the first, I think, or so, to be able to vote again. And he was really, really big, I'm pretty sure in 2018, where he was polling. There was, like, an amendment that was to be made that people who had past felonies could be able to, like, vote. And eventually it did pass. And I think it gave 1.2 million people their right back within Florida, which I think is insane if you think about it, because of the fact that, like, one, Florida, Georgia, and a few other states in the South are pretty known for being, like, swing states. In the film, Safeguard, it talks about, like, what the Electoral College is, how it works, how the votes work, what federalism is, and why it's important within the democracy that we have. They talk as well about democracy versus individual rights, and they talk about the two-party system, avoiding extremism, money in politics, recounting, fraud, and minority rights. And I would have to say, like, to kind of summarize that film, one would emphasize that it very much was, like, insinuating, like, for the EC, like, not against. And I, like, will give my opinion on it. I definitely remember that after the 2016 election, I was like, why do we have this, like, system that isn't necessary in a sense? But the film did make kind of a big point with the EC. It kind of distributes the votes around the states, and it doesn't just give, like, six states the majority of the votes, because if we didn't have it, like, Boston, Chicago, New York, Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles would be the only ones within regards to the presidential election that would have a play. And both candidates, right, Democratic or Republican, could just strictly go to those six states and just push, like, I'm gonna do this, and this for you, right? Whereas here, the system that we have, it makes either candidate go to either the swing states where you might need to, like, push people to, like, vote for you or, like, side on your side. And that's the whole purpose, right, of, like, campaigning and getting out there and all that stuff. And I have to say that after watching all of these films and, like, really forming my own opinion and just honestly kind of getting myself up to date in regarding to the election, I genuinely believe that it is in y'all's best interest to watch these films as well. One of them's on YouTube, so you could watch it like that. It's that one's 20 or 30 minutes long. It's not long at all. The other two films are like an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes. Like, they are not bad at all, because I'm sorry to say it, like, 2020, like, you can't be apolitical. Like, there is no way you can. With everything that has happened, from coronavirus to the social unrest this summer to Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing to the Senate hearings to the election, like, there is no way, like, none of that can ever come up. And if it doesn't come up in your life, I genuinely believe, like, that is a moment for you to sit down and recognize, like, where you stand within regards to privilege. And just putting it out there, like, be honest with yourself and acknowledge, like, where you are in the spectrum, because it is what it is, and you should go and do your civic duty. It is so baffling to me, all of these three films. It was just so wild to me that we live in a country that, like, people don't want to do their civic duty. There are people who aren't citizens, like, people whose lives are constantly affected day to day based on, like, the policies that, like, your state legislator or your congressional legislator or your Senate legislator are all putting into play in Washington. And you're like, I'm not going to have it. But someone who may not be a citizen, who might be here on a visa, who might be an international student, they have all these things that they have to worry about because of the fact that they aren't a citizen of the state. And I think that I acknowledge, like, the privilege that I even carry being an American, because when I studied abroad in Spain, right, like, I had a great, amazing time, but that was, like, kind of, like, the turning point for me to realize that, like, one, it is insane being in a different country when shit is hitting the fan, like when your country is like falling apart or things are happening. It is like wild because you're like, this is what they see on a daily, and it's just, it's crazy. And I know for a fact that so many people in other countries, I don't know if they're doing it constantly, but I know that they are watching us and are trying to keep up somewhat with what is going on, because we're in a state of like, what the F is happening? And I want this episode to kind of just wrap up, because I got class in a few minutes. I am not doing this episode to push you to vote for a certain party. I hope you can kind of tell where I stand, but like, if you are someone who is thinking about, you know, like, should I vote the lesser of two evils, watch these films, because I feel like these films really like made me even like be like, you know what, it's my right, it's my civic duty to go on Tuesday or early election and do what I'm supposed to do, which is vote. Like, and it starts from with you. It starts with you voting for who you believe will serve you best, right? And honestly, I mean statewide. This is state level, right? State level, like, who will serve you best? But when it comes to the presidential, if you can sit in your room, your car, wherever you are, and say, you know what, 2020 hasn't been bad, I know who I'm gonna vote. Check yourself. Please check yourself, because why? Like, what? Like, have you been under a rock? Do you know what 2020 has thrown at us? Please, please. And do your research. I'm going to link so many like sources, not just CNN or NBC or whatever. There is ballotopedia.org. You can go on there, put your address, and find out all your constituents, who is your presidential candidates, but also your state representatives, your Senate representatives, your state legislators, all of the people who are making all these decisions and rules within your state. You can go and read, and they have the website. They have all the stuff you need to know about the candidate. And it's important to be educated. Do not just listen to me. Listen to a variety of people. And I'll link a couple other podcasts that I've been listening to that have kept me in to date with, you know, the Supreme Court hearing. Also, just like news outlets in general. And I also think, too, it's important to like disconnect from time to time. Like, be aware of how much you're consuming. And as I'm doing this podcast, I'm planning on, you know, until November 3rd, kind of bringing in elements of current events that are happening within the US and also in the world, because it is important to be informed. It is important to educate yourself, and it's important to do your own research. We are in unprecedented times, y'all. So do yourself a favor. Wear a mask, wash your hands, stay 6 feet apart, and like, do your civic duty and vote. Vote, okay? Like, I vote and stay in line. Like, do not leave. Do not let them suppress your vote. Do not let them deter you away from doing what you, as an American, have been given the right. People have been fought for your right to do this, for my right to do this. Like, what, back in like 1920, I could never vote. Like, do you recognize that? And yeah, so do it. Okay, that is it for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope the video element was fun. Well, maybe not fun, but like, let me know if you guys like this setup. I'm gonna try different ones within my room. Maybe this will make me like finally like redecorate the childhood bedroom. As always, follow my social media from the podcast. On Instagram, I'm creating a TikTok, and as well the YouTube, and they will all be linked in the description box of the podcast episode and also in the YouTube descriptions. I hope you guys have a phenomenal hump day, and I will see you guys in next week's episode. Bye.